Let's read together the Word of God in Psalm 55. Psalm 55. We consider verse 22, the beginning of it, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." Let's read together the entire psalm tonight. Psalm 55. "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as are at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter. But war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee." So far we read the inspired Word of God. Verse 22 is the text. "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, what are you doing with the burden that God has placed in your life? That is the question that we face in the sermon tonight. What are we doing with the burdens that we face in this life? The Word of God tonight gives us the calling that we face when it comes to the burdens of our life. The calling, according to this text, is very clear. When we have burdens in our life, what we must do is cast them upon the Lord. But just as significant in the text is the promise that goes along with that calling that God gives to us. And what a beautiful promise that is, that in the way of casting our burdens upon the Lord, God promises to sustain us, and He will never let the righteous be moved. Beloved, there are a few passages in the Word of God as beautiful as this one. And what a beautiful description of prayer we have in this passage. Prayer is throwing back to God the burdens that He in His sovereignty has placed upon us in doing that with the absolute confidence. And that's the prayer tonight, that God, through this sermon, would work confidence in our hearts, that in doing that, He will not let us be moved, but will sustain us in that which we are experiencing in our lives. That's the Word of God to us from Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast thy burdens upon the Lord. And the points are what I just mentioned in the introduction, the burdens, the calling that we have, and then the promise of God that comes with this. Cast thy burdens upon the Lord. The burden, the calling, and the promise. The inspired writer of Psalm 55 was David, and David clearly had a burden. Every child of God has a burden. And what we have in Psalm 55 is the heartfelt expressions of David in response to that burden that he was facing. The entire psalm revolves around what David did in response to the very difficult way that he was experiencing in his life. And that's where we need to begin in the sermon this evening. We need to begin by understanding what it was that David was experiencing, what therefore his burden was, of which Psalm 55, verse 22 speaks. A burden is something heavy that you are to bear, something that you place on your back, that you feel. And as you walk, its presence is always known. It's not a feather that you place on your back and then walk around throughout the day, and at the end of the day you realize, oh, I had something on my back, and I didn't even realize it as I made my way through this day. A burden is something heavy. And by virtue of it being a burden, it's something that we have to carry. And the fruit of carrying a burden is that you're tired, you're weary, it's difficult. David had a burden. The burden was heavy. David wrote this psalm likely when Absalom was attempting to usurp his throne, which means that David was likely on the run at this time, as he often was when he penned many of the psalms. But that was part of the burden that David was experiencing. The physical enemies that sought to destroy his life day after day, wondering if this was the day that they would capture him and destroy him. But the emphasis of the psalm is not on the physical enemies that sought to destroy David. The burden for David was deeper than that, and more difficult than that. The burden was emotional. The burden was due to the struggles that he experienced on account of the relationships that he had. I mentioned Absalom a moment ago. The difficulty for David as it related to Absalom was not the fact that Absalom had his army and that Absalom took that army and was attempting to find David and kill David. That was not the struggle of David as it related to Absalom. The struggle as it related to Absalom was this: it was his son. It wasn't a Moabite that crossed over into the land of Israel and was attempting to take the throne of David. It was his own son that was rebelling against the way of God and attempting to usurp that throne. It was the one concerning whom David said at his death in 2 Samuel 18, verse 33, "And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber of the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son." In addition to that emotional struggle, there is what is made explicit in Psalm 55. What else is made explicit in Psalm 55 is the fact that David had a close friend that betrayed him. That's verses 12 and following. "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, Then I could have borne it, neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Likely a reference to Ahithophel, a man who was not only a trusted counselor of David in his kingdom, but a man that was his friend, his supposed friend. A supposed friend that became a bitter enemy and rebelled against him and betrayed him. Prophetic of Judas Iscariot in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that was the struggle for David as he went forth in his life. David, beloved, had a heavy burden. And he tells us in this passage what he does with that burden. You and I have burdens. We have burdens by virtue of the fact that we live in this world. We must not be surprised by the presence of burdens in our life, these heavy things that we need to bear, what we feel day by day that bear down upon us and seek to destroy us. We mustn't be surprised by that. It's part of the Christian life. Elsewhere, the Psalms say, many are the afflictions of the righteous. If you met someone for the first time that just became a Christian and they wanted you to describe the Christian life, what does it mean for you to be a Christian? What does it mean for those who you know to be a Christian? What you would not say to them is that it's a life of ease. We don't teach the prosperity gospel that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, everything is going to be okay and you're going to have no difficulties in this life. That is not the gospel according to the Scriptures. What you would say to them is it's going to be hard. It's going to be very hard to be a believer living in this life. And you need to expect that as you commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. This needs to be our expectation, and it shouldn't surprise us as we go through this life with heavy burdens. It shouldn't surprise us because of the fact, beloved, that we live in a life filled with sin. This world in which we live is fallen. And the fruit of that is that there is sin in us, and there is sin all around us. And you ask the question, why the heavy trials of this life? And the answer comes down to this. We live in a fallen world. We're not in the world to come. And the world to come is a world in which there are no burdens, are no tears, no more struggles that we need to face. But ask that question, why are they here? Why are the struggles in this life? And it all comes back to sin. And I don't refer explicitly right now to your sin or to my sin and say that on account of the sins that we are committing, we have these burdens that we are facing in this life. Sometimes that's the case. That the very heavy burden that you bear is a direct consequence and a result of the sin that you have committed. That's not the point here. The point simply is that we live in a fallen world, and because of that, it all goes back to sin. Why the struggle that David had with Ahithophel and Absalom? Because these men were sinners who rebelled against God, the fruit of which was felt in a very profound way upon David. Why the burden of sickness? May not be directly because of a sin that you have committed, but it's because of sin. It's because we live in a life filled with sin, and part of that is death and corruption and decay, and right along with that, the breakdown of the body and the sicknesses of this life. The burdens of our life ultimately are because we understand the nature of this world in which we live, but it's more than that. Not only do we live in this fallen world, and therefore these things are to be expected for us because we see this world from the proper point of view. But in addition to that, we stand in this world as the righteous. the believers, the saints of God. And with that, there's a target on your back from all of those who are the unrighteous, unbelieving, part of the world. That's what David experienced as well, as one who fought the Lord's battle and sought to maintain the kingdom of God. And that's what we need to expect as well, as those who are the righteous in this world. We will experience the onslaught of the enemies, which lead to certain struggles and burdens in our lives. Beloved, we face them, and they are simply a part of our life. And we don't need to go on at length to describe what they are for us in our lives. Where shall we begin is almost what you want to say. We all have them. They're unique to each one of us. Whether the burden is very similar to what David experienced, the struggles in relationships, the burden of having those who were close to us at a time abandon the Christian faith, one of the heaviest trials that we could ever face on this side of the grave. Whether that burden is the burden of confusion, whether that burden is the burden of the breakdown of the body and chronic pain, whether that burden is the unknowns of the future as it relates to my health, whether that burden is struggling financially, whether that burden is the result of being sinned against, whether that burden is relationship struggles, we can go on and on and on. We have these heavy burdens that we have to face in this life. They're there. And we don't pretend that they're not. We need to say one more thing about the burdens. Something very striking about this passage. David uses a particular word for burden in this passage that has as its root the idea of giving. And the idea is that he's calling attention to the burdens of this life, but at the same time, he's acknowledging that they are given to me. And therefore, even we can say a gift. And the one that they are given to us by is God. David makes that confession in this text that what he is experiencing is not outside of the control of God. But when we experience the trials of this life, we need to make that exact same confession that I believe that what I am experiencing right now is given to me by God. And that He has placed this upon my back at this time, right now. By the word that he uses in this passage, he's calling attention to that aspect of his confession as it relates to what he is going through. And though we live in the midst of a fallen world, though there are enemies that add to the burdens, ultimately what we can say about it is this: it comes to me from the hand of God. And that's our confession of faith. We'll talk more about faith later in the sermon, but I want to bring it up now. That's part of our confession of faith as it relates to what we are going through. That we can, in the midst of the heaviest of trials, say this exact same thing. It is coming to me from the hand of God. With that comes a calling. The calling is to do something with these burdens that we face in this life, and to do exactly what David did in Psalm 55. Because understand, beloved, that the question is not if we are going to do something with the burdens of this life. That's not the question. It's a fact. We are going to do something with them. We are going to act in response to these burdens that we bear in our lives. The question is not if we are going to do something with them. The question is, what are we going to do with them? And that question is answered for us in this passage. God gives us the command. This is what you do with the burdens that you face in your life. This is what you must do. he says, cast them upon the Lord. That's a command that comes to us. Notice that in the passage. The form of the verb is a command. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. And we need to hear that command as the children of God. And the reason we need to hear it as a command is due to the fact that each one of us has a nature that is inclined to do something else with the burdens of this life. We're not dealing here with what we may deal with in a doctor's office where we have symptoms and it's difficult to figure out. And the doctor looks at all of the symptoms and he says, I'm not quite sure exactly what it is. And in light of that, here are a few options. Option number one, this is what we can do in response. Option number two, this is what we can do in response. Here's option number three. And he gives it to you and says, what do you want to do? What do you think is the best thing to do now? What are you most comfortable with? Beloved, God does not come to us tonight and say, here are a few options in how to deal with the burdens that we are going through. He gives us a command and says, this is what you must do with them. Cast them upon the Lord. And we need to hear that as a command because of the fact that we are inclined to do everything else with our burdens but cast them upon the Lord. And that's the necessity of the command. And that goes back to the point I made just a moment ago. It's not a question of whether we will do something with them, but what we are going to do with them. And we are so inclined not to cast them upon the Lord, but to cast them upon everything else. And this is where idolatry comes into play. We make idols in this life, and we cast our burdens upon those idols that we set up in our life. And that's why I use the word idolatry, because the fact is, anything, therefore, can be an idol upon which we cast the burdens of this life. It doesn't even have to be something that's explicitly sinful. It doesn't have to be that we cast our burdens upon a substance in order for a few minutes to get some relief from the burden that we are bearing in this life. It can be anything else. Are you casting your burden upon work and making the idol of your life work, so that instead of facing what God has placed upon you right now and dealing with it appropriately, all you do is bury yourself in your work from the moment you get up to the moment that you go to bed, 6 days a week, consumed with it. Because if I'm consumed with that, I cannot face what I clearly have to face in my life. Or do you cast your burden upon the idol of entertainment, of pleasure? One of the most powerful temptations that we face in our culture, to throw our burden upon the television screen or the laptop that we have on us as we sit on the couch. And simply, instead of facing what we need to face, we take that remote, or we take that computer and we look up everything else in this world and we bury ourselves in the worlds created by actors and actresses or the arenas with the sports, all in an attempt to escape what we don't want to face and deal with in our lives. We all have them. We all have those things that we are tempted to cast our burdens upon. God says in this passage tonight, cast them upon me. Cast them upon me. And notice who the me is in the passage. The me is Jehovah. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. All capital letters, that's Jehovah. And that's a critical part of this text. He wants us to know in this Word of God who He is. And He's Jehovah. He's the I Am. And that name of God emphasizes His sovereignty I am emphasizing himself as the eternal God and therefore the sovereign God over all things. But right alongside that, and these two go together, sovereign and eternal, but also friend. David was going to his friend, Jehovah, the one who loved him. Jehovah, the one who loves us. Jehovah, the one who saves us in the blood of Jesus Christ. Jehovah, the one who incorporates us into his family so that we can sit here this evening and say, I am part of the family of God. And now the same Jehovah that is eternal and sovereign and therefore powerful and mightier than the burdens that we bear. Beloved, we need to know the one upon whom we are to cast our burdens. It's Jehovah. All of those idols that we are tempted to throw our burdens upon may give relief. That's in the end what they promise. False promise of relief, but as we all know, it's but for a moment. We may feel good for a little while. We may be removed from the intensity of the struggle for a few minutes. But in the end, those idols are powerless to do what we truly need in the face of the burdens that we bear. This is Jehovah, the God when you look outside that created everything. And the God, not only that created everything, but in His sovereignty, rules over our lives. And in His love in Jesus Christ, brought us into His family. That's the one that we are dealing with. And the passage says, cast them upon this Jehovah. And the idea of casting upon Jehovah, very simply, is that we go to Him in prayer. This is one of the most striking explanations of prayer in the Scriptures. Literally, it's throw upon Jehovah, fling upon Jehovah. Very vivid, graphic language to describe what we are to do with the burdens that we are bearing. Bring them to Jehovah in prayer. In doing some reading for this passage, I came across this definition of prayer. Prayer is the burdened believer unburdening himself upon Jehovah. And that's the calling of this passage. Lay it before Jehovah. Now, this does not preclude laying it before each other and sharing our burdens with each other. It doesn't preclude that. We still can do that. But I bring that up because it helps us understand what we are to do with respect to God, because this is something that we can understand. And if we're struggling, it's helpful to look at it in these terms. We can understand the relief that we get as the children of God from bearing each other's burdens. When we go to somebody else, we lay before them the struggle that we are going through, and they hear it, and they listen. For us, that is a tremendous source of comfort and encouragement in our life. We can understand that. Now, what we need to understand is it's exactly that which we are to do, not with a friend first and foremost, but exactly that which we must do with Jehovah. We lay it before Him in prayer. The entire emphasis of Psalm 55 is on prayer. Notice that at the beginning of the psalm, verse 1 already, we read, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me, and hear me. I mourn in my complaint, and make a noise. And then verses 16 and following, we read this, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. And then we come to our passage. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. And in the way of doing that, God gives to us that promise. And that promise is He will sustain thee. And the idea is that He will keep us. He will not suffer the righteous to be moved. The promise is not this, and this is important. The promise is not, I will remove the burden from you. Beloved, never is that the promise of God to us when we go through the struggles of this life. Remember what we said in the first point. They're going to be there. And if that's our expectation, that we will never have to face a struggle, that's the wrong expectation, and that's not the promise of God. The promise of God is that He will sustain us. He will keep us. He will not let us be moved. He will not let us be destroyed by that burden that we are dealing with. He will not let us be crushed by it. He will not let us, throughout the entirety of our lives, live under the control of that burden that we are dealing with. He will sustain us. He will keep us through it. That is the promise of God. And that is the promise that we need to hear. And the promise that we need to believe as the children of God. Now, how does this work? How does this work that in the way of casting it upon God, praying to Him, He will sustain us and not let us be moved? It does not work this way, that when we pray to God and are fervent in prayer, morning, evening, noon, calling upon His name, flinging upon God the burdens of this life, that He changes in some way, so that whereas before we prayed, He may not have sustained us, but now after we prayed and because we prayed, He now sustains us through the burdens of this life. That is not how it works. How it works is this: in the way of praying, God sustains us, and He sustains us because the very act of prayer is the life of faith. And it's living a life of faith through the burden that keeps us in the midst of what we are going through. And beloved, that's why prayer is so important. Not to change God, but prayer is that activity of faith that leads us to go through the burden of this life in faith, so that in the power of faith, we are viewing it correctly and we are sustained through it. And beloved, this makes sense. When we pray, what are we doing? When we pray right in the heart of a struggle, what are we doing? We're acknowledging God first. We're acknowledging that He exists. We're acknowledging that He is sovereign over all. And then we go to Him and we can call Him Jehovah, and we're acknowledging Him as my friend. So right there, in the midst of the burden, we pray and we say, God, have the proper frame of mind through what we are going through. And then we say, He's my God, Jehovah. And then we have this, that this one that I am praying to not only is the one who created all things, but He's mine, and He loves me, and He saved me in the Lord Jesus Christ through His precious blood, and therefore promises to do everything for my good and my salvation. And then in the activity of prayer, as we lay before Him our struggles, we are acknowledging everything that goes along with that burden, acknowledging the fact that He is in control of it. We're acknowledging the fact that I am struggling through this. We're acknowledging that I can't do it of myself and I need God. We're acknowledging that, yes, I have sinned even in an attempt to bear this burden on my own. Prayer, in other words, beloved, is the activity of faith that keeps our mind focused upon God, His goodness, His love in Jesus Christ, and continues through that prayer to give us the strength to go forward so that in the way of prayer, He sustains us. Beloved, the Word of God to us tonight is, face the burdens of this life by faith. Pray. And faith is not just prayer. Faith is the desire to pray. Faith is the acknowledgement, even in the hardest of struggles, that I can't pray right now, but I know I need to pray and I want to pray. And then you go to somebody and you say that very same thing, because that's faith. To say, I want to pray. And I don't want to flee to an idol, but I want to flee to God. Pray with me. Pray for me. Because I want in my heart to acknowledge this God and lay before my God the struggles of this life and go through this burden. Not looking to the things of this earth, but I want to go through this in the confidence that God will keep me. That's the Word of God to us. Face the burdens of this life by faith. Do that, beloved. Go to Him. Go to Him with somebody. But go to Him. In the same way that you would lay it before a friend, lay it before God. Everything associated with the burden that you are bearing, the heartfelt struggle, the questions surrounding it, the need for God, the confession of sin. And beloved, do that with this confidence that He will keep you. He has always kept His people. The Scriptures are replete with examples of that. We have one right here with David, with what he experienced in his life. David the sinner, yes. David the one who sinned in very serious ways, yes. David who even went on impenitence, yes. But David, the man of God and the man of faith, was kept by God through that. And you can read the Scriptures throughout and see that God has always kept His people. And you can look at your own life too. Your own life of faith. When you look back, you can say that God kept me, sustained me, did not let me be moved in the face of the struggles. And though in the moment it's hard to see that, and though in the moment the devil wants to put blinders on you so that you can't see that, see it. See it with the eyes of faith. And as you look forward, still with that heavy burden on you, know this, that this is Jehovah. And if there is anything that is highlighted in that name, Jehovah, it's the faithfulness of God in Jesus Christ. He is the I am that I am. And He is the one who brought us into His family and says, if you are mine, though you have burdens to bear, I will keep you. And I will keep you forever. Beloved, we all face them. There are times in our life where they're not as intense. And you may be in that time right now. There are times in this life when they are very intense. Cast them all, every last one of them, upon Jehovah. And be confident that He will sustain you. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we pray that Thou wilt use this Word of God to help. We pray that Thou wilt help us understand that Thou art Jehovah, and that by faith we believe that Thou art Jehovah who loves us in Jesus and promises therefore to keep us in the burdens of this life. We pray, Heavenly Father, that Thou wilt do so, and that Thou wilt give us the ability to pray and have a desire to pray so that all throughout our life we think the right way about what we are going through and acknowledge Thee as the one who is our loving friend and sovereign over all. Hear our prayer, forgive our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen.